The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Internet. Now, before we get started, I want to thank everyone for all the help you've given us in the Small Business Influencer Award.
Thank you.
Yes, it's been awesome. Tons of people going and voting and revoting, and you know, you can do it every day, and I can see people are doing that, so thank you so much. We have one day left. That's right. Tuesday is the day where they shut it off. That means 40% of what ends up the vote, the final vote, has been accounted for. So we've done really well at this point, and hopefully we can keep ahead of everyone. And then the remaining 60% is dealt with by the judges. And oh well, we have to leave that to them.
So
to listen to the show.
So we have to smooth somebody. We got to figure out how to contact these judges and give them free SEO advice or something. Or they could just listen to the show and get free SEO advice, I guess.
We should get Darren on the board.
There we go.
Yeah, Darren, nice. Well, owner of Webmaster Radio. That'd be great. Darren Babin. Well, I don't know who it is, but if they listen to the show, they got to hear that this is pretty darn good for small business. And I certainly think that our listeners have put their word in too. So thank you.
Definitely. I'm impressed how many Facebook likes we've gotten. Because I see some of our competitors, and they got hundreds of votes, but like two or three Facebook likes. We've got like close to 100, and I'm really, really impressed with that. That's 100 guaranteed individual people, not people voting once or twice. You're going to do that once, and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. So thank you, and let's see if we can get more. I figured the Facebook one, I was trying to push that a bit. I know that says a lot about, like you said, how many unique people are involved, and I think that would be really cool to get more of those. But, well, we will get what we can, and you know, whatever happens, I'm super proud. It's been awesome.
Yeah,
so
definitely. And you can guarantee we'll let you know what happens if you don't already next show.
Yes, definitely. So you've been awesome, John. You put together a great list of stuff to talk about today. I have to admit, I'm a bit behind in the news. I've just been having my head down, buried in a few projects. But so I'm really interested. Let's go for it.
Let's go for it. So I think the interesting thing for me, and I've been wanting this to happen for probably close to forever, Google has dropped support for the toolbar on Firefox.
So that's right. I did read about that.
Yep. And the little green PR thing is going to go away. Yes, so hopefully it's going away. I mean, you can still get it, but as they update Firefox, they're not going to continue to update the toolbar. It's gone as far as updates. What you have is what you get and what you get to keep until it doesn't work anymore. And I think it's a great thing, personally. I mean, a lot of people love to be able to look at that PR bar and say, oh, look, my PR went up and down. You know, and it tied to that, it's interestingly, it's a hard word to say. Google just did another toolbar PR update, which is a month after the last one, which is pretty rare. They usually only do that like once a quarter. So somebody, I think it was Barry over at Search Engine Roundtable, pointed that out, that they just did another one. So before long, we're not going to be able to tell by looking at the toolbar. So I personally think that's it's a metric that people follow way too much. It doesn't mean anything really, but people put way too much weight into it. And the fact that it's going to potentially be going away is wonderful news to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that as a signal, it's a fun thing to have, but you're right. Too many people would put way too much emphasis on it. And I don't know. I wonder why they decided to move it from Firefox. What's the story behind that?
I don't really know, but they've had it up there for 6 years, and they've just decided they're not going to support it anymore. They're not going to get rid of it. You'll still be able to get it for now, but they're not supporting it. And I guess I don't know for sure if that means, if when I say not support, that just means we're not supporting it, or does that mean we're never going to update it again. You know, I guess I would think that's what that means.
And I guess the other thing is too that that's something that's built into Firefox if you wanted, or it's actually a Firefox extension. Whereas you can still download the Google Toolbar, can't you? Which also has the PageRank on it.
On Firefox 5, you can do that. The toolbar. So the toolbar for Firefox, you can download it, but they're not going to support it. So whether they're going to update it anymore.
But that's the extension one, I believe, isn't it? And then there's still the external actual program install that works on Firefox and Internet Explorer. It's a one-time install that goes into all of them that they'll still have, won't they? They just won't have this Firefox-specific one.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder. Because I always got a bit confused about that. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I like that toolbar. It looks really good. I'm like, oh, that's the Firefox one. I'm like, oh, right. I forgot there's two. You know, I always got confused. So I don't know. And I always thought it was odd. I mean, it kind of makes sense they're doing this in a way, because I've always thought it was odd that Google Chrome doesn't have a lot of the elements of the toolbar.
Right.
It's really weird. Yeah. Anyway. Well, very cool. Thanks for mentioning that.
Yep, I'm happy. Happy camping.
Cool. What's next?
So let's see what else has happened. Google actually made a change in analytics. So in case people noticed a change in how they were tracking image search. So if you're one of those kind of people that dig into analytics all the time, and you know, you always want to know the numbers, and you happen to rely on traffic from your images on your site, you recently saw a massive change in the amount of image traffic you get. According to analytics, but you didn't lose that traffic. What they did is they changed the way they're reporting image traffic within Google Analytics. So you didn't lose the traffic. You just lost how it gets reported in inside of analytics. And I think what they did is they reclassified it. They reclassified image traffic, and I'm just going to call up just to make sure I have exactly what you're doing.
I'm reading it now. It's what they did is they transitioned it from being a referrer, which is silly anyways, to it's now found in the organic search report.
Yeah. So if you saw these, it makes a lot of sense. So if you saw this referrer traffic drop from your images, the traffic didn't disappear. It's just reclassified in analytics. But if you're one of those kind of analytics geeks like I know a number of, and you saw that and didn't understand, that's what's going on.
Yeah, that would startle a few people, I think.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, analytics is a great way. If you're not an analytics geek, where you're in there all the time, you should pretend to be one for a day just to see what it's like, and you might get hooked, because there's really so much information you can figure out about your site, who comes to your site, what they're doing on your site. It just really is addictive. It's amazing, and it's really helpful from an SEO perspective.
Cool. I wanted to give a tip too. It's unrelated, but since it's sort of a tip and news day, I'm doing a lot of competitor analysis right now, and it's a bit bleh, and it's sort of overwhelmed with it. But one of the things that I'm finding very difficult to find is any kind of historical competitor analysis for social media, and I'm still having a hard time finding that. So if anyone lets me know what they find. I mean, I know of a few. I may already know the one you're sending, but I would love any kind of feedback on that. So I know there's quite a few very learned listeners out there. So if you know of one, what I'm ideally going to look for is I want to run it on a competitor and find out who their most engaged users have been over a certain period of time, which sort of a sampling of their tweets, say, over the last 6 months. Anything like that, you know, really just trying to get an idea just how effective they are and all that kind of information. And it looks really good in a report for a client, so it'd be great.
So how much do you want to pay for this information?
For the information? Well, we'll keep doing the show.
Well, I'm just saying, some of these, I know a couple tools off the top of my head that can do it easily, but they're not cheap. Oh.
Like, so, I mean, you said information. I mean, like finding out where.
No, to go. No. The actual social competitive information.
Yeah, no. I know that. I know it's going to cost money, and that's not a problem. It's, you know, the client needs it, and it needs it right. Obviously, we're not going to go for a Radian 6. That's a little much for my clients, because I'm small business to medium size, and Radian's great and all, but pricey.
Well, the great thing about Radiant 6 is they have historical data. Like you can, they literally have like 7 years of archives of tweets, more than Twitter itself does, because Twitter gets rid of it, where Radiant 6 keeps it. And you can find out amazing amounts of competitive information and about their a competitor's social presence over time, because they have that huge archive of data that totally. You can't get pretty much anywhere else.
Yeah, unfortunately, the things that I've been frustrated with, I've got a friend of mine who does a lot of work with it, and he's just pulling his hair out. He's so frustrated with the pricing, because it just they're nickel and diming now. You know, the amount of you know, if you want to do a certain amount of queries, it seems to be getting more expensive as social media gets more popular. You know, they're starting to see the cash cow, you know, and they're starting to take advantage of that. And it's not like I don't understand that, but it is getting a little annoying. And no one seems to have the same pattern in how they charge for this sort of detail. Everyone's got, it's a Wild West, right? So they've all designed their own way of charging for it. And it gets really confusing.
Yeah, there's no, it's like you get a PPC, it's usually, you get it's your spend plus a percentage. You know, there's a set formula of how people charge. For social stuff, it's still so brand new that even, you know, the services where people manage social for you, tracking tools, all of it, they're all completely separate, because it hasn't had enough time to coalesce and gel into one kind of, you know, cohesive model. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's any other big words I can get into that sentence.
Well, one thing that I want to tie into this is that in my research, I found one. I know of Ropefeeder, and that's great. It's a great program for tracking information. But export.ly, that's Exportly.
Exportly.
Yeah, it's excellent. What you can do is for free is get up to 10,000, get data on up to 10,000 followers. So let's say you pick one of your competitors and they've got 5,000 followers. It's going to give you a complete list of all those followers, what their description is from their profile, how many followers they have, and you know, it makes it really easy to pick out the really good ones. Plus engagement and some of the other demographics available for that competitor's Twitter profile. Free!
Yeah.
So I highly recommend giving that a shot. If you even want to just give it a shot, just try it out.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the site now since you brought it up. It's a tool by a company called Simply Measured. So have you looked at them? Maybe the free is just the lead gen, and they have the Simply Measured has what you need.
Yes, I've already asked them for info. They haven't called me yet. So unfortunately, it's one of these really annoying, horribly annoying systems where you can't find out anything about pricing, about pricing. Until they
they have their own model as well, apparently, is we don't tell you anything until you earn it.
Yeah. Which is a great model.
Yeah.
So it's a bit frustrating, but luckily they know their products are good, so I'm certainly intrigued. But I know it starts at $500 per month for the main system, which is nothing. That's fine. But I don't know if there's any history. From what I can tell, there isn't. So anyway, a bit of a tangent, but I wanted to share that with everyone. So there's a nice little tip for you. If you want to look at your competitor's activity on Twitter, Exportly, export.ly, nice free report there. Check it out.
Very nice. Very good.
Well, before we get into the next part, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we will talk about, some of the other questions you put together.
Very cool.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
As you know, being an expert at f***.
What did she say?
Requires lots of practice and a great tool. Think you could use some help with f***?
Whoa!
You're not alone. Hundreds have used our tool to take their f*** performance to the next level.
The language!
Of course, we're talking about managing Facebook ads on Acquisio.
Oh.
Buy, track, manage, optimize, and report on media across all major ad networks. Visit Acquisio.com to get a demo today. Acquisio. Search. Social. Display. One platform.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
2, 1, booster ignition.
Ascend into new heights of ranking and revenue with a search engine friendly online shopping cart that's ready for liftoff. Introducing Ascender Cart. Ascender Cart optimizes your shopping cart with easy-to-use SEO tools that will help build keywords, titles, and tags for top search engine rankings. Get all of the advantages of having a shopping cart on your site and monitor your progress with regular reports in just a click. Prepare to launch your shopping cart to the top of the search engines with Ascender Cart. Learn more about what Ascender Cart can do for you at AscenderCart.com. AscenderCart.com.
Podcasting at the speed of sound.
WebmasterRadio.fm. The flamethrower.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm with John Carcutt, Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Internet, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. For the break, we were talking about a number of things, but we closed discussing some of the social media tools out there and how a little bit frustrating they can be. And now we've got a little panda discussion to do, I think.
Apparently, there's been yet again another Panda update. And actually, after the update, it's been discussed that Panda is now a rolling update. So they've been doing like Panda 1.0, Panda 2.0, 2.1, 2.2, that kind of thing. But apparently now Panda's rolled into a rolling update, like the rest of the Google algorithm. So to me, it's like, okay, it doesn't have a name anymore. It's just part of the algorithm now.
But they actually thought that, however, in that the article you linked to there, mm-hmm. He thought it was rolling updates, but Barry was corrected by Google saying they're still pushing them out manually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm just scanning what you posted, so that's good. But it's important that they're continuing to do this because obviously they've got a hell of an uphill battle to go against duplicate content and all this garbage. So.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Panda's done a fairly good job of cleaning up stuff, but you can find crap all over the place.
Yeah. Now the title of the article you posted is on Search Engine Land. Yeah, the title is Official Google Panda 2.3 Update is Live. Google Panda 2.3 Update is Live.
Yeah, and that was like, I think it went live to the end of July, so it's been a week or more since it went live, and so we're probably looking at another one in another 2 or 3 weeks because they've been ranging around 5 weeks in between these updates.
Yeah,
a little less, a little more sometimes.
Yeah, so to most of our listeners, I mean, 1 week's nothing, especially small, medium size. Anyways, businesses I know enough about them to know that they probably check their stuff once a week, maybe. So. I think that it's just good to know. If you've seen any dips or anything, drop us a note, and we'll see what we can help you with either on the show or off the show. So let me know.
So have you heard much talk, and I know that people have written articles, I just haven't had time to read them. I thought maybe you would. People have been talking about how they've escaped the Panda updates by using subdomains. And I have a theory on that, but what have you heard about that?
I did read about it. I'm trying to recall what they did. I believe what they did is they funneled their duplicated content into subdomains, so they didn't have to get rid of it entirely. Not speaking 100% certainty, but that's what I recall. That way, they sort of skirted it by using the content still, but not having it within the same domain.
Right, so they use a subdomain, which is technically almost a separate site from the engine perspective, but are they getting traction on the subdomains? Because I wouldn't think they would. Maybe they've rescued their main domain, but all that content, all that targeting is still gone, which is what I'm assuming.
Well, it wasn't that. It was the thing is rebounding. It wasn't that most of the people that I read, at least when I read this, they had gotten hit by Panda, and then they did this subdomain transition and got back in the listings faster than most others had.
Right, but they didn't get back. They didn't regain everything because the content that they just regained their main site and their most important pages, not all that extra content that was crap anyway.
Yeah, but you got to keep in mind that there's a lot of people out there who would sell their soul to get back in there.
Yeah, but think about it. To me, that means there would be really no difference between moving that content to a subdomain versus just deleting it. What's the difference? Because it's not going to get indexed. It's not going to get rankings on the subdomain. Your other site would still come back because it's now not associated with this low-quality content. Either way, to me, it would be the same thing. What is that subdomain doing for you?
It's a good question, and I think we probably made a mistake bringing this up without having read it more, because I would like to know that too. Because you're right. It would make more sense to me. What would be the difference? But apparently there was enough of a difference that an understood tactic.
Okay, I acknowledge, but I'm definitely going to dig into that. We'll talk about it again because I want to understand that. So just giving you a heads up, we're going to talk about that again.
Okay.
Here's another one I wanted your opinion on. Bing started testing ads within the search results. So normally we're used to seeing ads with their pay-per-click or whichever, you know, at the top and on the sides. But if you go to websites many times halfway through the article, you'll see a little break and there'll be a couple of AdSense ads and then continues the article. Bing is doing the same thing in its search results. So you'll see three or four search results, then a couple of ads, then three or four or the rest of the search results. That's kind of – I'm not sure how much I like that, but I bet it's working great for them.
No doubt. I find it pretty funny they're doing that. When I saw that, a lot of these things I skirt and see on search engine land, but that was pretty intriguing. Bing, you know, we all know Microsoft's all about trying to heighten their bottom line because, frankly, they're losing so much money through search. They've got to do something. But this was pretty controversial, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like, to me, when you see that on a website, you're like, oh, you know, that's kind of lowbrow, you know. And to me, it's like, okay, Bing is now stooping down to that level. You know, they're trying to pull out every trick to make money. It's like, come on, you guys are not broke. You're part of Microsoft. You don't have to count pennies like this. Maybe they think it performs better for their customers. I'm not sure.
To be fair, I don't see it anymore. So maybe they just tested it and realized it was just too much.
Oh yeah, they were just testing it, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to bring it back. They probably tested it, gathered the data, and they're probably analyzing the data now to see what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope they don't do it, because I do think it's even though they were very clear that it's an ad, it's not something that people want to be running into.
Yeah, agreed. I don't.
I think it would send more people to Google, back to Google if they're even on Bing.
What do you mean back to Google? last time I went to Bing was to check out that new thing they're doing with ads.
Yeah, I went there now too. It's like, wow, that's a pretty picture. Okay, I'm going back to Google now.
Yeah.
They got a really pretty picture on there today. Looks pretty good. Of course, it's Canadian. I think that's probably why.
Yeah. Do you guys get different pictures on Bing than we do? Do you have like Canadian-based pictures on Bing? And
you know what? I just assumed we did, but perhaps not. I'm saying waterfalls. Are you seeing waterfalls?
You're going to make me go to Bing, aren't you? Jeez.
Oh, come on, man. Get with the program.
I'm seeing waterfalls. Woohoo.
All right. There we go. So unless you're next door, yeah, that's same for everyone.
Is that Canadian waterfalls? Those are pretty nice waterfalls.
They look good in cold, so it could be, but you guys have a lot of cold too, so.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. Just getting off the rails here pretty quick.
Yeah. How to optimize a waterfall. First.
Oh, brother. Okay. Google URL parameters enables finer control.
I thought this was awesome. Did you read about this one?
I think so. Refresh me.
So they've been, and I wish this would have came up when we had our buddy on from Google Webmaster Tools, John Mueller. This is pretty awesome. So if you're not familiar with the URL parameters in how they handle it inside of Webmaster Tools, up until recently, you could go in and you could Google would identify some parameters it's found on your site, or you could actually type ones in that it didn't already discover and tell it how you can handle it. Basically, index the pages with these or don't, or basically ignore these parameters, which means it would just strip them out of it and pretend they weren't there or use them. Now they've made it a much, much finer control of parameters. You have actually, I think there's four different things you can do with parameters. So if you identify a parameter in a URL, you can tell Google, you decide what to do with this parameter. Or you can say, every URL that you find this parameter in, index it with its value. Or you can say, only crawl the URLs that have this parameter and the value is this, X, whatever it is. Or don't crawl any URLs that have this parameter in it, which is great, especially when it comes into like pagination is the first thing I thought of. If you have a parameter that says page equals, right? If you always only wanted to index the first page, depending on how your CMS or your site handles parameters, these paginated parameters, you tell it only crawl the pages that the page equals one. So it's only going to crawl the first page, and you're not going to get potential duplicate content issues because of all these different parameters. And I think that's a great solution for that because it's been a problem at times. And we can use canonical. That's a whole other discussion. Giving you a lot of ways to handle individual parameters to me is awesome. And it's just another step that makes this Webmaster Tools tool so much better.
Yeah, I was just looking at some of the parameters that are available, and it's pretty in-depth. Typical Google, it's good. It's really good. Like you said, you can be as restrictive as only URLs with value equals 2 yeah. or whatever.
It really helps in e-commerce. So like if you have a page, a lot of e-commerce sites, you'll have a product, and there'll be 5 different colors of the product. And the only thing that changes is that the URL is color equals red, blue, green, yellow, you know. Tell it what the base one is and then ignore the rest, which is awesome.
Yeah, it saves a lot of people from doing the canonical, which was a big hoopla at the SMX Advance when I went there. It was constantly being talked about. Miley Ollier from Google was just so frustrated with everyone bringing it up all the time with her. But because before, you would just take, if you wanted to really jury-rig this, you would set up all those various colors to rel canonical back to, say, your most generic color or whatever one you wanted to be the mask, the original page.
The default.
But, yeah, they didn't like that. Google didn't like that. They thought, well, there might be something of interest on those pages or whatever. That's what she kept saying, and to extremely paraphrase her. But so in this case, you can really do this without incorrectly using the canonical tag.
Yeah, and as long as we're talking about Webmaster Tools, one of the other items we have on our list today is, for some reason, and I guess there's a reason behind it, Google has enabled URL submissions via Webmaster Tools. So you can submit URLs to Webmaster Tools. And I always tell people you don't have to submit URLs. You know, you link to the pages and you do a good enough job linking, they'll find them. And it doesn't matter. If you submit them and there's links, it doesn't matter anyway. So the fact that they let you submit in Google Webmaster Tools is interesting to me because why do they want you to submit? What's the reason for that?
Yeah, I don't know. That maybe, yeah. The only thing I can think of is something along the lines of getting something in faster to make sure you get the credit for it. But these days, and I'm going to get to that in a second, the rel equals author, all these sort of things are going to help you with that.
Yeah, and what they're doing is, and they're putting limits on it too. You can only do 50 a week. So I guess that's to help curtail spam submissions, which just makes sense. The interesting thing, though, I guess that does kind of make it interesting, is you can submit a URL. And you can submit it for just that page or that page and all the linked pages. So maybe if you have a page, maybe you're putting out an area, a section of content, a new section of content on your site. It's deeper, and you don't have a lot of links to that deep section yet. You could submit the sitemap page for that section of the site, and then all those pages will get crawled and indexed. But again, if they're crawled and indexed, that's wonderful, that's great, but if you don't have a lot of links pointing to them, there's not a big chance of them getting decent rankings. Unless you have a huge authority site and there's a lot of internal link weight being thrown around, but that's not that common.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I wanted to get into was the rel equals author tag. It's not a tag. I always forget. Element. On Yoast.com, that's Yoast.com, Yoast Devak, who has a great show on WebmasterRadio.fm all about WordPress, he has put together a fantastic tutorial on how to implement rel equals author element into your website. And it's very well laid out. It's meant for WordPress, I should stress, because he is the WordPress guy. But it'll give you a lot of great intel if you do have a WordPress site. There's another one I found that was for non-WordPress sites, and I apologize, I don't know it off the top of my head where it was. But there's a lot of rel. Just type in Google rel equals author tutorial. I'm sure you'll find one pretty quickly. And it's proven, it's working. People are getting their image right next to search results, and that's fantastic. That is going to definitely increase your odds of being clicked, for sure.
Yeah, but you have to make sure that your rel equals your author information is the same as your Google profile, or you're not going to get the picture.
Well, no. It's they explain it pretty well. I mean, you have to have a link back from here, link back from there. Everything has to be tied together very carefully. When you do it, it works like a gem. And my poor programmer is already overwhelmed, but I've got it on his list to get it done for us.
Nice. Does it tie into Google Plus at all? Because it's all tying together now. I'm sure it's going to if it doesn't already.
It isn't that I know of yet, but it wouldn't be a bit by now.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if at some point, because it'll show you, there's a page on your profile that shows you your plus ones. So everything that you hit plus one on, there's a list of your activity. Would be a bit surprised if at some point in your profile, there'll be a page that says, I'm authored by, and there'll be a list of everything that they find that you're the rel equals author to.
Or just the, or even as simple as you like these pages, and then I'll just have the author picture on the right, just like it is in the search results. That makes a lot of sense. And it could even be happening now for all we know. I haven't had any ones to test. But well, you know what? Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll tie up the show with a couple more notes.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
Advance your affiliate marketing efforts every week on Affiliate Buzz. Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Affiliate Marketing Channel only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Okay, class, Take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm with John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Internet, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. For the break, we were discussing the rel equals author element, and I just think it's pretty supremely cool. I mean, it's going to be a lot harder for people to copy content these days, so I love that because, you know, as unfortunately, I'm not writing as much as I used to, but when I did, it drove me insane when people got credit for the content I wrote. So I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, you owe me a lot of beers.
Yes, that's true, actually. We need to really get seriously wasted together one of these days.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever done that. No.
I know. Something very interesting to me that happened recently. Yeah, it will. Very, very soon, I hope. Yeah, I have to come out to my new house. And I got to tell you the story about my move. It was unbelievably horrible. First time I ever tweeted a complaint was about this moving company. And they didn't respond, of course. It was bad. In a nutshell, I got up at 7:30 to meet the movers at 8. I moved an hour away. So we're going to pack, drive, and unpack in the same day, which was fine. Got up at 7:30. Didn't get unpacked until 6:30 a.m. the next morning, 23 hours
later. God.
Crazy.
Yeah. Did you actually pay them?
Well, my company had already paid them, so.
Oh,
nuts. But I had to say that.
No doubt.
I'm not going to mention them on the show, but I should.
Yeah, you're too nice.
Listeners, to protect our poor listeners from American Van Lines. Anyway.
Excellent. Well, on that note, we should actually tie things up. Apparently, we're already over 30 minutes. Man, that goes fast.
Oh, yes, it does, man.
Yeah. All right. So we've got some content for next time. We also have reviews. I know everyone, I'm sorry. We've had so many fantastic speakers or interviews happening that we just couldn't say no to those, obviously. And definitely. I think you found those valuable. If you didn't, please listen to them again because you must have missed something. but we are going to jump back on the review bandwagon. We got to get a few more of those done.
I'm really kind of curious about one of the questions we have for next week that we got from our Facebook from at David Blaine with a L as a one. Like, is that really David Blaine? Is he asking us about WordPress? Can he just do some magic and make it work?
Actually, it's not Blaine with an I, though.
No. Oh, well.
It's too bad. Someday, maybe he does listen. Maybe he'll say something now.
I do have an actual David Blaine story for the show when we talk about it, so we'll get there.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to ask or you'd like to post anything, you can do it on our Facebook fan page. That's at facebook.com/SEO101podcast. And we do check it on, despite what you might think, we're taking lists of all the questions and we want to get to them, hopefully by the next show, at least a few of them. And also, you can also email me, ross@stepforth.com. That's STEPFORTH.com if you need to ask any questions or anything. And John, you can be reached on your Twitter account, right?
My Twitter, @JohnCarcutt, or on my Google+. I'm on there a lot too. John Carcutt there as well.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us today on SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. We hope to tune in. We hope you turn into our show for next week, and we're looking forward to talking to you then.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a good week.